You know, it works both ways, Brother Tom. Things that I can talk about, that I would love to talk about, but we're not going to right now. Right now, we're going to look at some better things than that. Try to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that He will bless us in this service this evening. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, a very well-known incident in the life of Christ. This is, you know this, you know how the story ends, you know how it begins, and you might even probably know more about it than I do. But if the Lord would stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, and that He would, by His grace, allow us to look at these things and be blessed by them, then that would make me very happy. Luke chapter 19, and as Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. There's enough information right there to give us some idea of what this man was about. He was not just a publican, but he was a chief of the publicans. These men were tax collectors, and they worked on a commission basis. That's a dangerous thing. You have a tax collector that works on commission. That's a recipe for disaster, because the more tax they collect, the more salary they keep. Not only so, they were encouraged to gouge the people and to take as much, even more, than was required. The chief of the publican made a commission off what they brought in, so he harped on them to get as much money as possible. These publicans were not well loved among the people. It says he was rich. Wonder how he got his money. He got it by cheating the people. You know, you can make assumptions about people, and you can look at people's past and maybe draw conclusions on it. But only the Lord can look upon the heart. You know, we are taught by the old cliche, never judge a book by its cover. There's one thing we can say about all of us, that we are right, that we would be correct. There's one assumption that's not an assumption. We are all sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God. I mean, if you're going to amen me, that ought to be the one point you ought to amen. We are all sinners. We've blown it. We've messed up. The sin means to miss the mark. We have missed the mark, at least I have, over and over again. I'm a professional sinner. If you don't know how to sin, hang around me. I'll show you how. I came out knowing how to sin. My parents didn't have to teach me how to do it. I might have showed them a few tricks. My children learned from me. They came out sinners. We've all come out of the womb speaking lies. Zacchaeus was a practicing sinner. He was rich through ill-gotten gains. But verse 3 said, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. You know, my friends, God does not bless us or save us according to our pedigree. We don't have to send resumes to heaven just to see if He'll save us. Even in this economy, some people are having to interview for their own job to keep it. Aren't you glad it's not that way in the house of God? I'm glad it's by grace and not by works. If it is, I would be a universalist. Everybody is going straight to hell. Now, there's some people who believe everybody's going to heaven. No, I don't believe that. I believe in the doctrine of election. But if there is no election, if there's no grace, well, we're universalists. We're all going to the same place. Some people say, well, what difference does it make? We're all going to the same place. I say, yeah, by the grace of God, we'll avoid it. We'll go somewhere else. He wanted to see Jesus. He said he wanted to see him who he was. He'd heard about him. And he had probably heard people talk about the miracles, about his teachings. And he wanted to see for himself. And he had a desire that he would see this man. But it said because of the press, because of the crowd, the multitude, he couldn't see him because he was short. I emphasize with him on that. I'm the shortest member of my family. My brothers are all bigger than I am. I can't stand them for that reason. I mean, they all look down, literally, on me. And I've got to look up to them. They're all taller than me. They're all at least 2 inches taller than me. I don't know why that's the case. And now my boys are getting taller than me. I can't get away from it. I can understand this man being short. And a lot of us probably would have said, well, just not worth it. It's too hard. There's too many people. Just might as well go home. But I love what he did. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was the past that way. I'm sure if somebody had told Zacchaeus, you're going to be climbing a tree today, he would have laughed in his face. But you know, the Lord will make you do things you thought you would never do. Some of you may be sitting here saying, yeah, right, preacher. That's what you're supposed to say. You'll never find me going down the aisle to join the church. Famous last words. I said the very same thing myself. And when the Lord got a hold of me, I couldn't wait to get down the aisle. I couldn't wait to join the church. I just didn't see anything in front of me except my dad standing there to tell him I want to be a member of the church. What a blessing that was. I thought I'd never do it. You see, because I was raised in the Primitive Baptist. I was raised by a minister, and my grandfather was a preacher, and my great-grandfather was a preacher. And I've seen so many preachers in my life, I got sick of them. I didn't want to see another preacher again. We got sent to meetings. We would go to 3-day meetings, and then they came up with 4-day meetings. And we'd drive 500 miles and sit down and listen to a preacher all day long and just sit in the hot Texas sun, and people say that they enjoyed it. I never could understand why that was the case. We'd have tent meetings and sit under a hot tent or under a tabernacle or an unair-conditioned building, and there'd be people that would be shouting for joy. I never got that. But when the Lord got a hold of me, I say, I want all of that I can stand. I remember saying, when I get on my own, I'll go to church as often as I wish. And that came to pass. That was every Sunday. My friends, the Lord will make you do things you thought you'd never do. My brother Mike started preaching at the age of 17. And he just hit the ground running preaching. And I remember sitting there as he got up to preach, you'll never catch me doing anything like that. Now, that's crazy. That's going too far because, I was I'm by nature a shy person. And to stand in front of people and to talk is against my nature. And, I remember I would drop classes in college because it required to give a speech. The fact of standing in front of people terrified me. And when I began to think that I wanted to preach the gospel, I thought I was crazy. And certainly that could not be of the Lord. And I never would dream that I would preach in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it fell on a day that I was sitting there and a brother came and said, I want you to go first this morning. I want you to introduce services. And I don't know why, but I said yes. And I did. And I ruined it all. And ever since then, I've tried to preach. Maybe not so well, but I've never thought I would do it. But God has other plans for us. Don't say that it's not going to happen to me. My friend, it just might. And if it does, you better obey it. I've talked to
And I did the minister's book, and I researched a lot of preachers' lives, and a lot of them, and I'm not throwing off on them, but I'm going to say I disagree with this sentiment where they say, well, I ran from the ministry. Well, why would you tell me that? That's nothing to be proud of. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. If my dad told me to do something, I did it. He had ways of getting me to obey his will. That's something to be ashamed of. You wouldn't say, I never did anything my dad said to do. But if God calls you to something, you ought to just do it with all the power that you can give it. Because it's the Lord. If you've got to climb a tree, climb a tree. You know, sometimes we can't see the Lord because of the press. Because there's too many things in our life. Maybe we're worried about something. Maybe we've got something on our mind, or maybe somebody hurt our feelings. Maybe it's just too hard to get up and go to church. Maybe we stayed up too late the night before and don't want to get up early. Maybe we don't particularly care for somebody in the church. We let things get in the way. But I say, if that's the case, you climb up that sycamore tree and you'll get a pretty good view of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, get above all that. Rise above all that circumstance, and look and see Jesus Christ, and all that stuff will fade away. I've seen grudges washed away in the communion water. I've seen people who got crossways with each other just hug each other's neck. I've seen my friends, people who just got so upset and angry about things, but by the time God got a hold of them, all that was through. Climb up the tree and see the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times we're like Elijah. We fall under the juniper tree and we just complain and say, Lord, you know, take my life. I'm not worthy of it. No, I say, get out from under the juniper tree and climb up that sycamore tree. The view is a lot better. In verse 5 it says, and when Jesus came into the place and looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. My favorite word in verse 5 is the word Zacchaeus. You know why? It just amazes me that the Lord knew this man. And he knew his name. I love that thought. I love the thought that the Lord knows us. He knows us before we ever knew him. I'll give you something better. He loved us before we ever loved him. We love him because he, what? He first loved us. Are we here to take credit for what we've done? We're here to praise God for what he's done. My friends, we haven't done anything. It's all of the grace of God. Now, Zacchaeus had no idea that the Lord would ever knew him, but Jesus knew Zacchaeus before the foundation of the world. And he called his name and wrote his name in the book of life. He was his before the world ever began. And the same with you. He knows our name. I love that. And that is comforting to me. You see, I have four boys. And I'll call my boys. And I'll call them every name but the right name. You ever do that? I think I'm the only parent that ever did that with their kids. And then the more kids you got, the longer it takes to get to the right name. I can't even remember my own children. I'm glad I'm not the Messiah. I'm glad salvation's not with me. If it's the case, I'd save the wrong person. But Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And he did, my beloved. We read in one of my favorite scriptures, and this is found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. Verse 1, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Amen and amen. He calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. I love what God said to Moses. He says, I know thee by name. I love what it says in 2 Timothy, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows us. He calls us. He saves us. He preserves us. He will glorify us. We will abide with Him forever and ever. We are His. We are the sheep of His pasture. He is our shepherd. He calls us into his sheepfold by name. He said, your name, and you live. What a thought that is. He didn't wait for you to call His name. You were His before you ever knew who He was. Oh, my children, I love to tell my wife this. All four of my boys, their first word was Daddy. Amen and amen. Smart boys. Love it. Love it to death. They didn't say Mama. They said Daddy. But you know what? I didn't become their daddy when they said Daddy. I was their daddy the moment they were conceived, before they knew who I was. I was their father. Christ was our Savior before we ever confessed His name. He foreknew us. Y'all believe in the doctrine of foreknowledge here? Oh, I do. He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen and amen. You think that's a gospel call? No, I think that's the call of regeneration. When He calls your name and you live, you become a living soul. That is the effectual call of regeneration. It's not a gospel call. We don't believe in gospel regeneration. In that we don't believe that the gospel gives you life. It doesn't give you life. It gives light to life. It brings it to life. Like you turn on the light in the room, you see the furniture. The light didn't create the furniture, but the gospel reveals eternal life that was always there. Well, I'm glad you don't have to hear it to get it. But it's good to hear it, isn't it? And we ought to believe it. And if you hear it, you ought to believe it. And if you believe it, you ought to walk in it. And if you walk in it, you ought to be just wanting to talk about it. People say walk the walk and talk the talk. I say talk the walk. That's a third level above. Why not that? Isn't this the most wonderful thing you've ever heard in your life? Isn't this the most important thing in your life? To be with God's people and to hear the gospel preached. My sheep, they hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. It gets better than that. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Thank you, Lord, I'll take it. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's the doctrine of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. How is it given? By the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You are secure in Jesus Christ because He calls your hands. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, you are His. Jesus says you are bought with a price. What's the price? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not your works, but by His own grace, by His blood, by His sacrifice, He paid your sin debt, and you are His. If any man has a right to call your name, it's Jesus Christ. No man can pluck them out of my hand. It gets better than that. My Father, which gave them me, there's the doctrine of election, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know how it says in Isaiah chapter 40 that, comfort ye my people. You know that scripture?
Since speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, crying to her that her warfare is accomplished. Then it goes down and says, for she has received double of the Lord's hand. I love that word double. Now, that word double can be tricky. It can be tricky. For instance, if I'm driving down the road and I see that sign, traffic fines double, I become the little old lady from Pasadena. I mean, I'm driving just right down the line, 55 miles an hour. That's better than any defensive driving course. I see that word double. You know, they got that highlighted in capital letters. Because I don't want to pay a ticket, and I don't want to pay twice the ticket. But that word double can work in our favor. Y'all remember green stamps? You're going to date yourself if you're nodding your head. Some of you are giving me puzzled looks. I explain it to my kids this way. Well, you know, back in the day, you'd buy groceries. They'd give you these little stamps, and you'd lick them, and you'd put them in a book. This was big stuff back then. This is what we did for amusement back in the old day. We really enjoyed doing this. And they're looking at me real funny like, I say, yeah, we'd lick them, we'd put them in a book. Well, why would you do that, Daddy? Well, you'd collect them. You'd collect all these books, and you'd go, and you'd be able to get prizes. Well, what kind of prize? Well, you'd get an electric skillet. You'd get a lamp. You'd get an alarm clock. And they're looking at me like that. Y'all were crazy back then. But that was big stuff. And I remember on Wednesday, I worked at Piggly Wiggly. It was double stamp day. Oh, that was a big day. That was bigger than Saturday. I mean, they just, give me my stamps. Give me my stamps. I checked an old Texas rancher out. He came back about 20 minutes later, actually about an hour later. He came in his old pickup. He said, well, son, give me my stamp so my wife will let me in the house. Done forgot to give him his stamp, you see. Sadie wouldn't let him in the house until he had the stamps. He took the groceries and sent him back for the stamps. I gave him triple stamps. I felt sorry for him. All right, back to the scriptures. We've received of the Lord's hand, what? Double. Double. You know, we've got a double security in this text. Jesus says, no man can pluck my sheep out of my hand. And then he drops down and he says, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's double security. You know, we've been doubly blessed. When Christ died for us, He didn't raise us back to Adam's state. He raised us up to His state. That's double. That's a double blessing. Y'all remember that? And I'm just nostalgic all of a sudden tonight. Please forgive me. I turn 50, I get all nostalgics. Y'all remember that commercial? I think they still have it. You're in good hands with Allstate. You remember that one? They have that hands like this. Some folks down there in Louisiana found out they weren't in such good hands with Allstate. You know, Katrina went through and the agent said, well, it really wasn't a hurricane that destroyed your house. It was the flood and you didn't have flood insurance. And you see how that goes. They weren't in good hands, were they? It always bothered me when I saw that commercial. I'd see the hands sticking out. They said, you're in good hands. I didn't like those hands. I didn't like it. What if I'd been those hands? I could fall out. What if he tripped? What if someone wanted to shake his hand? How are we in the hands of God? It's funny. You have to go ahead and laugh. How are we in the hands of God? If you're listening to a tape, you're going to miss this visual. Y'all are here tonight. Good. Amen. You're going to get the visual. Stay awake. You're going to get something real good. We're in the hand of Christ. In the hand of God, He puts us like this. No man can take us out of that. We're in the rock of ages. That's cleft for us. We're secure. We'll never fall. We'll never lose our salvation. No man can shake us loose. We are in the hand of Christ and in the hand of God on top of it. Friends, we're safe. We ought to be happy about that. We ought to be thankful about that. Zacchaeus, come on down. I got to dwell in that house. You've climbed up the tree. You've seen me. And I know you. Guess what? I've known you from the beginning of time. I knew you were going to climb that tree. Before you ever thought about it. I knew we were going to eat today. Before you ever knew. My sheep hear my voice. I call them by name. They're in my hand. They're in my Father's hand. I and my Father, he said, are one. That's good doctrine, isn't it? That's amen doctrine. You know what those Jews wanted to do? They didn't say amen, did they? The next verse says, then the Jews took up stones to stone him. I can't believe you could hear something like that and want to stone the messenger. That ought to make you want to join the church all over again. That ought to make you just want to live better. That ought to make you want to do the right thing. That's the best news I've ever heard. Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. Make haste. Today, I must abide in thy house. Would you let him come in your house? Amen. Is he in your house? He ought to be. Is his word in your house? It ought to be. Is the sound of singing in your house? Do you hear fellowship in your house? That's a blessing, isn't it? You know one of my favorite childhood memories? It's falling asleep while I heard my daddy and my grandfather and the other brethren heart shelling. That's a blessing to me. I grew up in that environment. I grew up where the Lord was. I thank you for that. I know some people who hadn't had that blessing, but it's not too late. Don't make the past a crutch for doing what we ought to do right now. I say, if the Lord has blessed you, it's not too late. Make haste, come down. He did. Verse 6, he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, come on. Every person he ate with was a sinner. That's nothing new. I mean, he could have gone to their house and it would have been true. He's eating with a sinner. If he comes to my house, he's eating with a sinner. But he came to save sinners. Paul said he came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. The angel told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he, what, shall save his people from their sins? Jesus said, I came to seek and to save them that was lost. I believe he did it. I believe he was successful at doing that. Zacchaeus received them into his house. And then what he said, he stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Half of my goods I give to the poor. You know, I've heard folks get on a tithing kick. I was talking with a lady on the airplane. We talked all the way from Dallas, Texas to Birmingham, Alabama. We talked about the Bible. She asked me, why are you going? I said, I'm going to Georgia. Why are you going to Georgia? I'm going to preach at these churches. Preach at a church down there. She says, well, I'm sitting by the right man. So she just started talking to me. And as the plane began to descend, she said, preacher, tell me about tithing. Because my church is after me about this and that. And I tell you what, I just don't see it. I said, well, I can't remember the chapter and verse. But the Apostle Paul said, as the man had purpose in his own heart. She goes, oh, you're going over there. And she quoted the chapter and verse. I said, sister, that was a burden imposed under the law. Grace is free. Now, it's what you feel in your heart to give. That's New Testament. That's New Testament giving. She clapped her hands and she said, brother, you've taken a burden off me. You see, here's what I say. I'm certainly not against giving. It's taught in the church. But why stop at 10? Zacchaeus gave 50%. Why stop at 10? Now, I know I've gone to Midland, but I'm leaving here tonight. Y'all can murmur, or you can get mad at me, you can give me the fish eye, you can throw books at me, that's fine, I'm leaving, I'm getting in the car, I'm going up the road. You don't have to invite me back. That's fine, that's fine. Why stop at 10? Zacchaeus gave 50. Well, for that matter, why stop at 50? Jesus Christ gave everything. We sing that song, Jesus Paid It All. I like to improve on it. He gave it all to pay it all. He came and made of himself of no reputation. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He died for us. Why stop at 10? Why stop at 50? But now we're under grace. As a man and a woman purpose in his heart, so give. Not grudgingly. God loveth a cheerful giver. Christ gave it all. Zacchaeus said, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I've defrauded any man, I'll restore him fourfold. Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he is also a son of Abraham. That word salvation doesn't always mean eternal salvation. If it did, I'm in a whole heap of trouble. Because I read about women that are expecting that they shall be saved in childbearing. If that's eternal salvation, every one of you brethren is out of luck. I mean, we're going to hell. And every sister that never had a child, you're going straight with us. No, that's talking about a timely deliverance. Paul would write, by the cross of which we are saved, the gospel that I preached, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory the things I preached unto you. There is a deliverance in believing the gospel. There is a deliverance in obeying the commandments of Jesus Christ. There is an obedience in exercising your faith. We ought to do it. We don't always do it, and not all of God's people do it, but we ought to do it. And when we do it, we are blessed beyond measure. There's a deliverance in prayer. You ever go to your bed at night and just rebuke yourself for praying too much? You ever say to yourself, man, I could get so much done if I'd stop all this prayer. I've got to quit praying so I can get some things done. No, I've never said that. Have you? You ever said, man, I tell you what, that gospel is just too good. We need to tone it down. I've got too much grace. No, we don't pray enough, do we? I know I don't. Paul said to pray without ceasing. I think that means to be in a spirit of prayer all the time. Jesus said, in this man's belief, and in his adherence, in his following his conscience, salvation's come to this house. This man's been delivered. Now, he's half as poor as he was before, and he's twice as happy. That's wonderful, isn't it, how that works? You know, we're in the middle of what history will call the Great Recession. They'll write about this in history books this time of year. And we can, young people, well, by that I mean anybody my age and younger, can tell a generation following, I lived during that time. It's not going to be, as I said this morning, a very prosperous Christmas at our house. The money is not what it was. But I thank my God that there's no recession in heaven. That He hasn't cut grace in half. And He says, well, it's just the economy so bad, we're going to have to save a lot fewer. Every one of His sheep will be saved without the loss of one. You can say, Brother David, we're not going to get a Christmas bonus this year. Why are you worried about that? You got the best Christmas bonus 2,000 years ago. Now that gift that God's given us has blessed us every day of our life, will bless us through death, will carry us up to paradise, will welcome us home into glory, in whose arms we'll fall into, and we'll say, Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we'll leave all this behind. We won't worry about what we didn't have, but we'll just consider everything that's ours, and we'll say, The half wasn't told us. And we'll spend all eternity discovering how wonderful it is. I plan to spend the first 10,000 years of eternity gazing in the face of Jesus Christ. I mean to tell you what, and then I'll spend the next 10,000 years just roaming around, just seeing how beautiful it is. And then I'll go back and I'll spend some more time just looking at His face. You say, that sounds boring. No, that sounds good to me. That's what I look forward to. There's no recession. There's no depression. There's no layoffs. My friends, once saved, always saved. There's no pink slips coming from heaven. But there's come on and be with the Lord. Come in, ye blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for the foundation of the world. No pink slips, but open arms into His home. What a blessing we've got. We may have less today, but I'll tell you what, we've got it all through Christ Jesus. We ought to stop stressing about it. We ought to stop worrying about it. We ought to stop obsessing about it. We ought to start thanking Him for what He's done for us. Because we've been blessed more than we deserve. He's worth climbing a sycamore tree. He's worth going 100 miles to see. He's worth giving up that we can be with Him and be blessed and praise His name better than we did yesterday. Now, I'm not preaching to anybody here today except me. I'm sure I'm the only one in this house that needs this sermon. I'm beating me up right now. But I tell you what, you gather this up, you may need it tomorrow. You may need it the next day. You may need it next week. But I wish all of you, my friends, that we could all just thank Him and just give Him the praise. Just thank Him for what He's done for us. That's why we're here. That's why we're alive. That's why we serve the Lord. That's why we're here. That's our purpose in life. And He's worthy of it. I'm not. Nobody is. But Christ is. If I can't sit half, I give. But I'm twice as happy. If I've defrauded anybody, I'll make it up fourfold. You know why? As I found out this world is not my home. And I'm going to a better place. Those folks in that cemetery are a lot happier than we are. Those folks that are gone on the glory, they're a lot happier than we are. They're having a better meeting than we are right now. I was walking in the cemetery one time, and I'll leave you with this. I'm kind of funny. I like to walk around cemeteries. I'm funny. And I think about, and I see the names, and I think about the life that they lived and the things that they must have done and what brought them happiness and things like that. My grandfather and I were walking around a cemetery where 8 Primitive Baptist preachers were buried. And he knew every one of them. And I was asking him questions about it. I said, Papa, tell me about this brother. Now, how did he preach? Did he get in the big way? And what did he preach about? Was he a duty or a doctor or experimental preacher? And he'd tell me all about it. And I just got to looking at the cemetery and I just saw how neat it was. And it was just a pretty place. I said, Papa, this is a beautiful place, isn't it? He says, that's right, son. But it's going to be a lot prettier on the morning of the resurrection. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? If he came back right now, amen and amen. Say, don't you want to go to San Antonio? Nah, I want to go to heaven. Do you want to see your kids again? I'll see them up yonder. Don't you want to see them grow up? Why? I'd rather them play in the streets of Jerusalem where there's no danger to see them grow up in this world. I say, give me Jesus or I die. I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That'd be all right way to end the meeting, don't you? May the Lord richly bless you is my prayer. Until we meet again, may He give you all needed things. You're in my heart and in my prayers. Thank you very much.